thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for times now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant, cheerful springtime. Thanks for summer, winter, fall. Thanks for tears by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for prayers that thou hast answered. Thanks for what thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all thou dost supply. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort in despair. Thanks for grace that none can measure. Thanks for love beyond compare. Thanks for joy and thanks for sorrow. Thanks for heavenly peace with thee. Thanks for hope in the tomorrow. Thanks through all eternity.
Good morning. 1 John 5. Whenever a pastor's gone, I have noticed when I have the privilege to be in the pulpit that oftentimes there's a little bit of intensity. There's a almost a nervousness, a little bit more reservedness. Just take a deep breath. We're here to meet with God. That's why we're here. 1 John 5 is where we're at. And I want you to look on with a neighbor if you don't have a copy of God's Word. And if you have a friend or if you see somebody that doesn't have a copy of God's Word, please share that with them. I don't want you to trust what I say. That sounds kind of weird, but that's the absolute truth. I want you to see exactly where I'm getting it from. 1 John 5. So if you don't have a Bible and you would like one to look on one, if you could just raise your hand, maybe somebody in your neighborhood could give you one. If you don't have a Bible and you would like to look on one. I know most of this is the home crowd. Our guest here needs help. Thank you. Appreciate that. So glad you're here. 1 John 5, verse 11, 12, 13. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm going to ask an invitation question at the beginning. And I want you to be honest. No one is here this morning but us, so go ahead and be honest. How many of you in your life at some time, maybe even currently, have struggled, wondered, questioned, doubted, had questions about your salvation? Would you raise your hand and keep it up? Okay. Now, look around. Look around. I'm going to go on record and say that's around 70-80%. You see those hands? Okay, thank you. Put your hands down. You know what that means? It means you're all horrible people. No. I've heard that before. It actually means that you're normal. And it means that 1 John 5 was written for you and me. And this morning, my goal is to be an encouragement. My goal is to show you exactly what the Bible says about how you can have assurance, what it takes to know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Let's pray, and then we'll get into what God has for us. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. We thank you for those who have joined us this morning on this different Sunday morning with Pastor being gone. I pray that as Pastor stands to preach here this next hour in Colorado, that you bless, you'd encourage, you challenge the people that he's preaching to use our pastor today. Lord, this morning, would you help us? Would you strengthen us? Would you guide us? Would you mold us? Would we be different because of what the Word of God has to say? And Lord, would there be no reservations? Would there be no hesitation, no shame? Would we all realize that this is something that is common? This is a need that many, many people struggle with. Many people go through seasons of question, of doubt, of problems, of trials. Would we find what it means to believe and know and have that assurance? And would this morning we walk out of here knowing that I know that I know that I know I'm going to heaven when I die because Christ died for me. Help us to find our answers in the Bible, not our feelings. In Jesus' name, amen. As we get started, before we get to the truth from this passage, I want to share with you briefly why it is that people doubt. You're in 1 John 5. Look back with me at 1 John 2, verse 3. First John is a wonderful book. It's different, and I think I've shared this here before, it's different in the fact that it's not a very logical book. It's very circular in its reasoning. It's a very Eastern book. It's not very Western in its thinking. Paul wrote Romans to a Western thinking mind, the European Roman mind, and we follow that logic more. 1 John's kind of more circular, but he gets to some incredible truths here. And look what it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. There's a condition there. What's the condition that you know God? If you're obeying Him. It's possible for you to be here this morning and be genuinely born again on your way to heaven and be struggling with that because there's disobedience in your life. That's quite possible. I find that oftentimes is the case. Oftentimes a teen young person who grows up in a Bible preaching church like this one will go through seasons of doubt and you ask them, well, why is that? Well, are you obeying your parents? No, not completely. Are you watching, listening to the right stuff? Well, no, not completely. And as a result, they're doubting their salvation. They're not knowing that they know. And that's possible that you're here this morning, you're struggling, questioning, or you have in times past, and you look at those times, and it's because there's disobedience in your life. I don't know. You have the Holy Spirit. You got your brain. You got a Bible. What does the Bible say? Look back with me at the book of 2 Peter. So just a few pages to your left again. Here we find a similar reason why people doubt, why people struggle. Look what it says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now let's stop right there. I think we'd all be in agreement this morning that you're supposed to add to your faith. Can I get an amen? Okay. Pretty simple, pretty easy. We're supposed to add to our faith. If you're saved, you're supposed to be growing. If you're not growing, you're not right. That's part of what the Christian walk is. And whether you've been saved for 2 weeks or 20 years, you're supposed to be growing. And here's what we're supposed to be adding to our faith. Virtue. And to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and we're supposed to be adding charity. And look at verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to have an abundant life, adding to our faith, having an exciting existence. I trust that, and I hope that's where you're at as a Christian. But, look at the next verse. Peter realizes that that's not always the case. Look what it says here in verse 9. But he that, what's that next word? Lacketh these things, is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. It's possible for us to get to the place where we don't have it in our recollection because we're not growing. We're not adding to our faith. It's possible for us to get to the place where we have I don't know. It's possible to get to the place where there's a struggle because you're not adding to your faith. It could be you're here this morning and you've got disobedience in your life, so you're struggling with assurance of salvation. You've got maybe the place where you're just not growing anymore. You're not adding to your faith. I haven't really read my Bible. I haven't really prayed. I'm here. You're here. Praise the Lord. Glad you're here. But that's it. And so as a result, you're struggling. You're wondering, you're thinking, I don't know. There's a couple other reasons as well. There's a big reason we'll get to in a second. But it's also possible that you've heard, perhaps, and I say this very kindly but very politely, misguided preaching or teaching. I have been to youth services that are aimed at youth groups, teenagers, and I heard phrases like this. You call yourself a Christian and you're watching that, you're listening to that type of stuff. And I understand what the pastor, the preacher, the evangelist means oftentimes is they want those young people to stop living that way. And I get that. And I would agree with that. But who here among us hasn't lived for a time away from God, whether it be an hour or 2 hours? Does that mean we lose our eternal life during that time? The New Testament even records the fact that Lot, that character in the Old Testament who was living in Sodom, was just. Yet it vexed his soul. And so it's possible that there's been some confusion here. I've been to Wednesday night youth services, even as a teenager, where the whole emphasis, you call yourself a Christian, you're living like that. That's dangerous, that's wrong, that's categorically wrong. And that happens sometimes, even good men, even in our camp. It's possible that, I've even heard this one, you've heard, and again, good men have said this. Well, you're not sure you're saved, you just need to get saved. Not according to 1 John. Because 1 John was written to people who weren't sure, had questions, and John was writing to assure them. And I've heard it and seen it, and it's done damage, perhaps even amongst this people in this auditorium, where, oh, you're just not sure, you just need to get resaved. And so people get resaved. Well, I just wasn't sure, and so I got resaved. And then there's confusion. I remember trusting Christ when I was a kid, but then I wasn't sure, and I got trusted, and I did it again, and they... there's confusion. Track with me? So what's the answer? The Bible. But there's a final reason before we get back to 1 John 5. It's possible that you're here and you have never, ever placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. I meet people like this all the time. I hear testimonies like this all the time. Yeah, I was saved, I was raised in a good Bible church. I heard the gospel, and I made some sort of decision, I did some sort of thing, I had some sort of religious experience, but I never placed my faith and trust in Christ. I didn't know what it was all about. I went forward and they said, do you like Jesus? I said, sure. And so they made some sort of religious decision, but inside they had never placed their eternal trust in Jesus Christ alone. And it's possible for you to grow up, to be in this church, to be a member here for decades, and yet have never placed your faith and trust completely, totally in Jesus Christ. Never come to what Acts 20 describes as repentance and faith, rejecting your good works, your baptism, your church membership, whatever's keeping you from Christ, and reaching toward in complete faith and saying, God, I can't, you can't, I'm trusting you alone. Amen. It's possible for people to be sitting here and who have sat here for decades and yet still be going to Christ's eternity in hell. Jesus said, many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these things? Have we not prophesied and done all these things in thy name? And he will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And it's possible that the reason you're doubting today, the reason there's struggles is because there's never been a time in your life when you genuinely in faith placed your trust in Christ alone. And the answer for you today is place your faith and trust in Christ alone. But I'm concerned what people would think. Hell's a lot harder than that. Hell's a lot hotter than that. Don't worry about what people think. It's not worth eternity. A couple weeks ago, I was preaching out in Nevada, Las Vegas area. There's a couple good churches out there. Thank you for their ministry. And in walked for the first time a young lady. Emily was 22, 23 years old, came in carrying a Bible. A church member had invited her. She had some religious experience. And I explained the gospel from passages like this that morning. You could see the light in her eyes click on. And that morning, she raised her hand saying, I have religion, but I didn't understand that. And she placed her faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. A girl, a young girl, young lady who had grown up in church, who had a Bible, who was moral, who was religious, who was nice, was in an independent Baptist church, unsaved. And that could be this morning again. You could be here, moral, religious, nice, but unsaved. Let's go with me now back to 1 John chapter 5. And this morning, in the time we have remaining, I want to share with you some truths about salvation. 1 John chapter 5, look again what it says in verse 11. And this is the record that being a member of Faith Baptist Church gives us eternal life. No. Remember, I want you to see what I'm saying. I don't want you to trust me. And this is the record that getting baptized in a Baptist church gives us eternal life. Is that what your Bible says? No. I'm doing this on purpose to keep you awake. And this is the record that being really good and giving the offering. No. And this is the record, can you say it with me, that God hath given. It's God's gift. It's not your work. It's not what you do. It's not how you try. And all across this wonderful city of ours, there's churches this morning that the essence of their message is do. be, try harder, live a good life. And yet the gospel is not do at all. The gospel is done. Jesus Christ finished it. And it's His gift to you and I. We can't earn it. Salvation is not by works, according to Titus. It's not by what we do, according to Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It is a free gift of God. And you may be here this morning, and this may be your first time, this may be your 100th time, and you may have lost count in between. But the fact is that God gives eternal life. God hath given eternal life. It's not your works, it's not my goodness, it's not your goodness. It's God that gives eternal life. And I realize that for most of us, we're in agreement, we understand that, but let's make sure it's clear. There's no point at any time in human history where any man had enough merit on his own to earn it. God hath given eternal life. Salvation is of the Lord. And there's churches all across this country of ours that are this morning and denominations all around the world that this Lord's Day are proclaiming that, well, you got to be good, do good, live a good life, get baptized. And yet the Bible says something completely, totally opposite. It said your good works are like filthy rags. What you and I have to offer to God is nothing. We can't. It can't get rid of our sin. And what we need is not some sort of moral reformation, moral helping along. We need a new birth. We need to be radically changed from within. And that's God's gift. It doesn't say you earn it. It doesn't say religion brings. It doesn't say baptism gives. In Jesus' day, the most religious, morally upright, perfect man that there was, so to speak, if there could be a perfect man, came to Jesus one day by night. And Jesus looked at him in essence and said, Nick, the way you are right now, you're going to hell. He used different language, but that's exactly what he said. You must be born again. I would have loved to see Nicodemus' mouth drop open. Yeah. Yet, sadly, years from now, people's mouths are going to drop open again. But Lord, Lord, we did all these things. No, it's a gift. I tried really hard. I worked really good. I was moral. I gave it to the churches, and I was a good person. It's a gift. And what you're doing when you reject the gift is you're saying, Jesus, I don't need you. I'm good enough on my own. I reject the gift of God's dear Son, which is the only thing that is accepted of the Father, and I place my trust and faith in my good works. What a sad state to be in. Truth number one, God gives eternal life. Look what it says at the end of the verse. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Now, truth number two, you can't lose eternal life. Truth number two, you can't lose eternal life. Romans 8 says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. God so loved the world. In John chapter 10, in fact, this is 1 John. For those of you getting used to your Bible, turn over to the Gospel of John. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Keep a finger here in 1 John. We'll come back. But John chapter 10, we find an amazing truth here in John's Gospel. John chapter 10. In John 10, many of you know where I'm heading here. John 10, 28, 29, and 30. Look what it says here. Jesus says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, I've used this analogy maybe even here before, but I have in my hand a mint. I've got those of you who know, and those of you who care to know, I have five kids. Wonderful kids. I have 10 down to 6 months old. What if my little four-year-old girl, Lindsay, came up to me and said, Daddy, can I have a mint? And I said, sure, but you got to get it out of my hand. Do you think my four-year-old girl could get it out of my hand if I'm keeping it from her? No. Is it because of my massive brute strength? Why are you laughing? No. It's because I'm Dad and she's four. Now, I can hold on to I can keep the mint secure in my hand from a four-year-old. You know, if my 10, 8, and 6-year-old ganged up on me and started tickling me, that'd probably be a different story. And they're smiling over there. But why? Because I'm Dad. Jesus said, I keep you in my hand. That's pretty good keeping right there. The one who made the world, who sustains all things according to Hebrews 1 by His power, He keeps us. That's pretty good right there. I'll take His word that He's going to keep me. He doesn't have butter on His finger. I'm not going to slip through. Look what it says there in John 10, 28. And I have given to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Then He says, adds to it in verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So right there, think about it. You have Jesus keeping you. You have God the Father keeping you. Where's the Holy Spirit? Oh, He's inside you, sealing you unto the day of redemption. We believe strongly, and the Bible teaches about eternal security. Now, we could go around, there may be some in this room that would disagree, and I understand, I've heard the arguments, I would be gracious with you. But friend, when you look at what the Bible says, what's the very definition of eternal? Forever. And ever. Jesus said it Himself, I keep you. Titus chapter 1, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Dear friend, let me say it this way, and I'm not trying to be irreverent or blasphemous. If you can lose eternal life, then God is a liar, and a very big one at that. The eternal security of our soul is not based on our performance, it's based on the very character of God. Jesus has us. God the Father has us. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. We're kept. Very definition of eternal. What if I was a door-to-door salesman? My kids don't know what that is anymore, but I grew up, I remember people coming to my door selling vacuum cleaners, life insurance, all sorts of things. My kids, that doesn't happen anymore. But what if I was a door-to-door salesman and I came, knocked on your door, had a cheesy smile and a plaid coat on? Hey, for three easy payments of $39.99, you can have eternal life. Now, this is bad analogy, bad illustration. It wouldn't happen. But what if, for sake of illustration, you bought the eternal life that I could sell you? And after 100 years, it ended. What was it? Junk. Worthless. What if I sold you eternal life and it was good for 1,000 years and then ended? That 1,000 years, that's a long time. Is it eternal? No. What if it ended after 1,000,000 years? Is it eternal? Because what is the definition of eternal? Forever and this is the point where smoke starts coming out of it. We can't process it. But Jesus tied His very character to the fact that I have you. I'm keeping you. God gives eternal life. Number two, you can't lose it. Truth number three, and hear me on this one. Some of you may be like, what are you saying? But hear me out. Prayers don't save people. Believing does. Prayers don't necessarily save people. Believing does. Well, wait. I was taught, you know, in our school, in Sunday school, we teach you pray this prayer. I understand that. And oftentimes we do pray a prayer for salvation. But the fact is that it's believing. Look in your Bible sometime, just through the New Testament. What did it take for a person to believe or to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Acts 16:31. Pray this prayer after me. Is that what Paul said? Believe. Believe. That's the essence of our faith. It's a belief. That's faith. It's not the prayer that saves us. And sometimes God's people get hung up on the prayer. Well, I don't know that I said the right words. I don't know that I really meant it. Well, John 3:36, he that believeth has the Son. We could go through the whole thing, Acts 16:31, as we just mentioned, Romans 4:5. He that believes has eternal life. It's the belief. It's the faith. And you and I may not have understood all the ramifications of justification, glorification, sanctification when I placed my faith and trust in Christ. In fact, I'm sure I didn't. I was a little kid. Little kid. I was sitting in my room by myself having heard the gospel message in a children's church, junior church, and I came home maybe a couple days later and was thinking about it, looking out the window, sitting in my room by myself. And you know what I realized? I can't save me. My parents reminded me of that a lot. They gave me lots of reminders. Praise the Lord for biblical reminders. You didn't have to convince me much that I was a sinner. Yeah, I got reminded of it often. Praise the Lord for reminders. I'm a sinner. Yep, I can't save me. Jesus died for me, and as best as I knew how, at a young age, by myself, without the organ even playing in my room, I placed my faith and trust in Christ. And you know what happened? Nothing in the room, but the angels were rejoicing. New creation was formed. That's the essence of eternal life. It's not the prayer. Well, I don't know that I was sorry, because I was a little guy. I was just a little gal. I don't know that I was really sorry for my sin. Let me say this, throw this out there. The only place you see sorrow connected with repentance is in Corinthians. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. And Paul's not talking about lost people. Though sorrow sometimes will. He's talking to a church there, and he's talking to a church issue. And you can look at that later. We could even have a conversation about that later. But the fact is, sorrow may or may not be a part of it. There may be tears, there may not be. Some people more analytically, I need to trust Christ alone. Some people, yeah, I need to trust Christ. And that's fine. All of us are hung differently emotionally. The fact is, I realize I can't. I'm a sinner. My baptism, good works, church membership, whatever culture can't save me. I'm placing my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. That's salvation. That's believing. Have you done that? Have you placed your faith and trust in Christ? Well, I don't know that I said the right words. I don't. Well, okay, a couple analogies here. Think about the thief on the cross. What did he say? Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. He didn't confess that he was sorry, and he didn't say he... What did Jesus say today? That's a pretty good indication that he prayed the right prayer, right? Yeah. What did the thief realize? I can't. He can. That's salvation. That's the essence of it. You know, this is getting colder, so it's not going to happen now, but picture with me a pool. And, you know, the lifeguard's up on the stand, and, you know, little Johnny's 4 or 5, and he thinks he's ready for the deep end. Maybe that some of this was you as a kid. So he's waiting for mom or dad or whoever not to look, and he slips off his little floaties. And he's ready to go for the deep end. You know they have that little floaty barrier in between the shallow and the deep end? Have you been to a pool? Okay, some of you are looking at me like a calf at a new gate. Okay, use your imagination, folks. Okay, so there's this pool, water, it's hot. Okay, yeah. But, you know, Johnny slips off his floaties, and he starts getting a little bit deeper. And he's like, I can do this. I've got this. And, you know, mom's not looking, so he puts his head underneath the, what's he not supposed to do? He's disobeying. But all of a sudden, he gets to the point where he can't touch. And instantly, that look of horror comes across his face. And what is the first thing a kid does when they start, they inhale, the worst thing you can do in the water. And all of a sudden, Johnny, and the lifeguard sees it. And the lifeguard stands up and says, Johnny, I can't understand you. What are you saying? Do you need me to save you? You got to explain it better than this, buddy. First, you got to tell me that you're sorry, that you won't ever do this again. Johnny, I don't understand. Blub, 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 blub. Now, silly analogy. But what does the lifeguard see? He can't. What is Johnny saying by blub, 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 blub? I can't. But you can. That's salvation. You may not have remembered the... I don't remember the right words. I don't remember the words I said. I don't remember if I confessed my sin. I don't remember the words I said either. There really wasn't a prayer that saved me. But in my soul, I knew, and I know, that 30-plus years ago, there in my room, by myself, I placed my faith completely alone in Jesus Christ. I can't. He can. That's salvation. Complete rest. Well, yeah, I believe in God. That's not just salvation. The demons believe, and they tremble. Well, I like church. You can like church. You can like every church. You can press the like button on Facebook and every church in town. Doesn't mean you're going to heaven. There must be a trust, a rejection of what I have to offer, what I have to bring to the table, and a complete reliance on Jesus Christ. That's repentance and faith. The two sides of the gospel coin. I can't. I came to church this morning thinking I'm a good enough person. I came this morning thinking I had what I came thinking that it was. Being a member and getting baptized and living a good life and doing good things. But I realize I can't do that. And I'm rejecting all that and placing my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. He died, was buried, and rose again for my sin. He is eternal God. He has an ever power of everlasting life. And I'm trusting Him and Him alone because the entrance requirements to get to heaven is absolute perfection. Anybody here perfect? Yeah, didn't think so. Me neither. So I need someone else to save me. I can't. You can. That's salvation. And friend, it's not necessarily a prayer that saves you. It's not necessarily coming down to a church and the organ playing. That's not the essence of salvation. Salvation happens when you and I say, I can't, He can. Here's something for you to think about. I've often wondered in my mind, and I've heard others mention this as well, when in a service does a person trust Christ as Savior? Is it when the organ starts? Is it when the pastor gives the invitation? Or is it when they pray right here? Or when they when is it? This is a good question. And, you know, for each guy it may be different, but oftentimes I found that it's the moment they stand and come forward. You realize, I can't. I can't. I need salvation. That's the simplicity of the gospel. It's not me. It's not you. And it doesn't matter what you said or didn't say. Was there a time in your life when you realized, I can't? Well, yeah, but you know, I don't know that it's not the prayer. It's the belief. It's the faith. It's the trust. I can't. He can't. I'm trusting you and you alone. That's the gospel. Truth number three, prayers don't necessarily save people. Believing does. Truth number four, look again with me back at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Only two type of people. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. If you place your faith in the Son, you've got life. Well, I don't know. Did you place your faith in the Son of God? Well, yeah, He's the only way I can get saved. Well, then what does the Bible say you have? Life. Look what it says in verse 13. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This first tells me at least two things. There's many more truths here, but first off, it tells me that there are going to be Christians, believers, who doubt at times. And if that's you, and if that has been you, if that will be you, don't bury yourself in thinking, oh, no, I'm just not saved, I don't... The story is told, and we could tell other stories, and perhaps you could give a personal testimony that a young Christian lady would come forward every so often wanting to get saved. And she's like, I just don't feel saved. I need to get saved. And the pastor didn't know what to do at first. He said, well, you just did this a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago. Well, come to find out that she was struggling in the relationship which she had with her boyfriend. And every time she would struggle, she would doubt her salvation. And, you know, she'd come emotionally distraught. I need to get resaved. Oh, that's not salvation. That's emotions. You can know. You don't have to wander around. You don't have to, well, I think I am, I hope, I feel. No. What does the Bible say? You can know for sure. A couple of weeks ago, I had a part in my grandmother's funeral. And up until her dying day, she knew. Everything else was gone. A lot of other things were gone. Capacities and other mental capacities were gone. But she knew, I'm going to heaven. You can know it beyond your own name. She didn't even know my name once. She forgot her own last name writing a check 2-3 weeks before she passed. But she knew she was going to heaven. There's a sense of absolute knowing. Beyond anything else, I know that I know that I know I'm His. And it's not me grabbing on and hanging on to Him. He's got me in His hand. I'm assured in that. I'm secure in that. And you can know that. There's denominations and some good brothers who teach and believe that you really can't know for sure. You just kind of have to hope and feel and work your way through, and then when you get to it, you'll know. And I think to myself, oh, how sad. Why even live? Why even bother with it? You can know. Have absolute assurance. I know that I know that I know. Truth number five, very simply, believe the Word of God. In John 11, Jesus asked, do you believe this? Believest thou this? And the same question is asked of us this morning. Do you believe the Word of God? And of course, we're in an independent Baptist church. We've got the right book and the right stance. And the right, we believe the Bible, the book of the blood, the blessed hope. Yeah, of course we believe the Bible. Well, okay, yeah, but do you really believe it? Oftentimes I find that one of the reasons for our insecurity, one of the reasons good people struggle, and I meet Christians who have been saved for decades oftentimes, and they come and tell me, Brent, I was struggling recently with whether or not I'm saved. And I find oftentimes one of the reasons is that we're looking at our emotions, not truth. Now, let's be honest. Do all of us have emotions? Yes, guys, we do. Yes, we are all hung differently. We exhibit it differently, but every single one of us have emotions. Do emotions change? Yes. Do you remember back to junior high? Some of you, it's not hard to remember because you're there. But you remember back to junior high and the first time you thought about somebody in a special sense and you kind of liked them? Then a couple weeks went by and you went, oh, gross. What was I thinking? Yeah, why is that? Because emotions change. Emotions come and go. And so often God's people tie their eternal security, or whether or not they think they are, to, well, I feel really safe. I remember the feeling I had when I got up from the altar, when I prayed, when I'm a new man. And you remember that feeling? How many of you can genuinely remember the time that you trusted Christ and you remember the feeling that you had? Could you raise your hand? Praise the Lord. Some of you may not. Oh, I don't remember too much about it. That's fine. I remember the feeling. I don't remember a lot of big relief because I was just a little guy. I hadn't done too much sinning. But I remember knowing that I'm saved. I remember that. But you know, you go through a time in your life where there's sin. There's problems. You're not growing like you should. And you lose that feeling. Now, oftentimes, God's people go, I just don't feel saved. I have doubts now. Maybe I'm not saved. Now, what if I woke up this morning and I had this horror of a thought and thought to myself, oh no, I haven't called my parents in a while. Yeah, and it's oftentimes true because my wife calls them, but I haven't called them in a while. And maybe they don't love me anymore. And, you know, there was that time 30 years ago where I didn't take out the trash when they told me to. And there's that other time where I did something and they never found, you know, I just don't feel like I'm their child. I just don't feel like I'm a Gellis anymore. I'm just not anymore. Now, that's a silly analogy. What do I need to do? I need to get proof out. I have back at home my birth certificate. It tells me where I was hatched and one day when I was hatched. And here we go. Have my last name, Gellis. Good. I'm still a Gellis. Man, I was worried there. Now, that's silly. That's silly, silly. But that's oftentimes the way God's people live. We look at our emotions. Don't go there! Amen. Friend, I don't want to be unkind or mean, but a child of God who keeps struggling, who keeps going, well, I don't feel it. You, in all honesty, are choosing to believe your emotions over the eternal written word of God that is settled in heaven. And I'm not being mean. I feel for you, friend. I'm not trying to be mean or ugly. But you need to get into the word of God. Get to the Bible. Well, I don't know that I... Stop the emotional train. Put the brakes on. Go back to the locomotive of truth. And let the caboose of emotion follow the locomotive of truth. Get to the word of God. And here's what happens. According to Romans 8, we have the Spirit in us who speaks to us. And it's on a level we don't understand, saying, Abba, Father. And as you and I get into the Word of God, not our emotions, as we get into the Word of God, as we read passages like 1 John 5:11, 12, and 13, as we read passages like John 3:36, John 10:28, 29, John 5:47, John 6:47, other passages, Acts 16:31, and if you want a list, I'll gladly write a list out for you. As you get in there, memorize, meditate on it, the Holy Spirit which resides in you speaks unto you on a level that you're not even aware of, on your inner man says, you are the child of God. He secures you. And that's where we get our assurance from the eternal written word of God. So, dear friend, if you're struggling, and I trusted Christ, I know. Can you get saved by your good works? No. I know it's not my good works. I place my faith and trust in Christ alone, but I'm struggling. Well, don't go to your emotions. Go to the eternal written word of God, what is forever settled in heaven. And you and I can have assurance. I meet many, many people all across this country who give me testimony, like, well, Brent, I trusted Christ alone for my salvation. They give me a very clear salvation testimony, but I struggle. I don't know. Perhaps it's because they're sin. It's perhaps because, in the other side of that coin, they're not growing. But sometimes, perhaps because they're simply, oh, I just don't feel it. Well, feelings come and go. The Word of God is settled. And what we must do is place our eternal trust, not in our feelings. Because if darkness and doubt isn't right now, just wait. It will be around the corner. Go to the eternal written Word of God. And when you do, God's Spirit will take the Word of God and speak on a level that is beyond us, our inner man. How about it, friend? Simple message. But I find this truth so important, so necessary, so needful. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes as we finish this morning. this morning as I was giving gospel truth, the Holy Spirit was either talking to you saying, you are the child of God, or the Holy Spirit was convicting you saying, you're not the child of God. The time right now is for us to be honest. You can deceive me, but you're not going to hurt me by deceiving me. You're hurting yourself. How many would say, Brent, there has been a time when I rejected my good works, my church membership, my baptism, my religion, whatever it was, and I placed my faith, eternal trust, confidence completely, solely in the person, work, and the finished work of Jesus Christ. He died for me. That is my only hope and plea. I'm trusting Jesus alone. Would you raise your hand to that? Thank you. Put your hands down. Is there anybody here this morning that, in all honesty, would say, Brent, I walked in this morning thinking that I was a good person, that I had what it took, or that I, you know, my baptism, good works, and believing in Jesus is what got me to heaven. And this morning I see from the Bible, from what we saw, that it's not about my good works. I don't have what you're talking about. And I realized this morning I need to place my faith and dependence completely in Jesus Christ. He died for my sin, and I need to trust Him alone this morning. Is there anybody like that who, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would just quietly raise your hand? I see that. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? I see that. Anybody else? I don't know. I have questions. In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation, and if just now you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to do something that may be a little bit daunting. I'm going to ask you to come forward and talk with somebody. We want to take a Bible and we want to help you. We're not here to embarrass you, to call you out. We're not going to mention you. We're not asking for your money or anything. We want to take a Bible and help you biblically to understand and make sure you know where you're at. When the music begins here in just a minute, I'm going to ask that you just step to the aisle and come forward, and we'll help you get this settled. Final question. How do you say, Brent, this morning, God's Word helped me in the matter of assurance. God's Word challenged me, convicted me, helped me in the matter of assurance. I've struggled or have struggled or am struggling. God's Word helped me this morning. Would you lift your hand? Amen. Many, many hands. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to stand to our feet, and the music's going to begin. As soon as the music begins, if you raise your hand saying, I don't know, I'm saved, or I've never trusted Christ alone, then, dear friend, I'd love for you to come forward to have a person take a Bible and share with you the truth of eternal life. Father, thank you for this truth. Help us to be open and honest to your Word. Thank you for the truth of eternal life and the fact that we can know it. It's not our emotions, it's the eternal truth. And you've placed your very character on this very truth. Lord, we love you. Pray that you'd work in people's hearts. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed, eyes still closed, let's stand to our feet. The instruments and vocalists are beginning. If God has spoken, you respond.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord.
Through one more verse. If God has spoken, there's still time to respond. Father, thank you for truth. Thank you that we can build our lives on the absolute assurance that we know, that we know, that we know I'm going to heaven. Not because of my good works, not because of my religion, not because of my church membership or my trying harder or anything else. It's because of what Christ did for me. Help us to build our life on that. And for those who may still be struggling, wondering, or those who will struggle in the future, may they not point to their emotions or not point to the way they used to feel, but would they look to the Word of God in the midst of doubt and struggles? Would they look to God's Word alone? And would we base our life not on emotions, but on the eternal truth? Lord, we love you. Thank you for your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.